The views expressed on the Big Shiny Podcast are explicitly the views of everyone on BigShinyRobot.com, regardless of what anyone may tell you.
And the Big Shiny Podcast contains coarse language such as shit, damn, and hell. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey guys, this is the noob from Battlefield Friends, and you're listening to the Big Shiny Podcast!
Welcome to the newest episode of the Big Shiny Podcast. This week, we are going to be talking about video games. So let's jump right into it. First, with introductions, I've had a little bit of whiskey. Tom, also known as Goddamn Zombie Tron.
Goddamn Zombie Tron. Yo, dogs. Bud Kips.
Sitting next to him, Jimmy, also known as Mexicus Prime.
You grab a little nut on that.
Did you grab a sack?
Wow.
Just a little bit.
I tried.
Wow. We're getting friendly in here.
I
didn't feel it.
You will.
Did you feel the sausage?
Sitting next to him, co-founder of BigShinyRobot.com, Lucas, also known as KillTacularTron.
I tried to grab your nuts.
Sitting right to my left, Kylie, also known as Vagitron.
What's up, motherfuckers?
Any refill?
I'm good. Feel those nuts. It's like two handfuls.
In Russia, nuts feel you.
And I am Tyson, also known as R-Spot. So we're going to jump right into things. We are going to talk about... So I know we talked about Titanfall last time.
Do we have to talk about it again?
Yeah, well, I'm playing it now, and I own an Xbox One now, and it's awesome.
Does it have giant robots?
Pterodactyls. Let's talk about playing... Let me talk about signing into Xbox Live and seeing five of my best friends all on that shit.
And then seeing Tom playing Street Fighter, but not being able to play with him because Tom's Xbox is broken, so he's playing on his PC.
How's your Xbox broken?
It just won't turn on. It won't boot up. I've got to go to... I'm going to troll over to GameStop tomorrow and try to fix it.
That's one of the things. We've been telling Jimmy forever, like, dude, you need to get an Xbox 360. We know you don't like the shooter games, but, you know, I'll get online and play the fighting games with you every once in a while and stuff. I got rid of my Xbox 360 like 3 months after.
Right?
Or Luke.
Yeah, same with
Luke. Help me get the 360.
Yeah. I left you with it.
Everyone help play with me and get me good.
So now you can buy an Xbox One. You already have Xbox Live. That shit transfers,
Titanfall.
Dude.
Oh my god.
It's amazing. You came over, you didn't play it, but you watched Spike and I played a little bit.
I watched the beta with you. I watched the real game. Or were you on the beta?
I wasn't on the beta.
No, he didn't.
I just barely got my Xbox One because
he bought the bundle.
He was on the real.
He gave the finger to all the early adopters and bought the Titanfall bundle.
Yeah. The bundle was, I think, still going on.
It still is.
It's $450 now. And what? So
$450 plus Titanfall for free. So
yeah.
$500
plus a month of Xbox.
So it's $450 total.
Hold on, I gotta say this though because I pre-ordered the Xbox One Titanfall bundle, $500, and you get Titanfall for free, essentially.
So wait,
plus an extra month of Xbox Live for free.
And a month later, they dropped the price?
Yeah, so Nick, I was telling Nick Marks, I was like...
They had it down to $400 on accident at one point.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I told Nick, I was like...
For the whole...
I was telling him about how I traded in my Xbox 360 and all the games and controllers and all this stuff and got a 50% bonus on the console because I was trading it in towards the Xbox One. So I actually got like $260 for my... all my Xbox stuff, which is fine because I'm not like Lucas. Like, I will never go back and play that shit. Like, I play my new shit. I will never bother going back to hook up the 360 or anything like that to go play it again. So I'm just like getting rid of it, all of it, take it
all.
Luke
understands the importance of game night.
So Nick, I was telling Nick, and he's got like one of the old white Xboxes still. So anyway, long story short, he wasn't gonna get that much for it. He's like, I just got a 3DS XL, whatever. So then, like a week later, he texts me. He's like, dude, I got an Xbox One. I was like, yeah, that's cool, man. What changed your mind? He's like, well, they dropped the price to $450 for the Titanfall bundle. And I said, they only did that because I just bought it at $500. Yep. So if I hadn't done that, it would never have dropped in price. But
that's how it goes.
Yeah. So fucking Titanfall, though. Holy shit. God. What a fun fucking game.
It's next-gen gaming.
Yeah. So I don't... obviously. I think I'm with Jimmy. I don't play the first-person shooters.
I'm very good at first-person shooters, but I don't care for them.
Sure. Oh, well, this game is so...
I don't want to blow my own horn.
It's like...
But you could.
You can just style on people. I know that sounds gay for me saying it, too, but you can really, like, style on people. Like, you can suck their fucking bullets, throw them back at their shit. You can ride on zip cords, fight pterodactyls. Even if you lose, you have to get to the fucking ship before it blows up, and it only blows up by your opponents shooting at it.
Which is exciting in its own. Like, whenever I see that thing like come in, like, I'm like, everyone, it's time to get the fuck out of here.
There's just so many levels.
I really feel like there's something at stake. Excitement. And really, the only thing at stake is 200 extra experience points, which isn't that much.
But if we can get on that ship after losing, like, fuck those guys.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
You actually feel like you did something.
And I actually, like, play that into my strategy now because if, like, the match is wrapping up and I can see, that, like, it's pretty apparent we're going to lose shortly.
He starts running early.
And I've got a Titan ready to go. I save that Titan because then I'll run to the dropship area, drop in my Titan, put it in guard mode, and have it start kind of protecting me and anyone else that's trying to get to the ship.
The game, like, creates hype. Like, you create hype moments. Yeah. I really like it. I'm not the shooter guy, but I fucking like it.
There's one where Tyson was in his Titan fighting a Titan as I'm holding down an objective as a pilot.
So you can get inside these things?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, bro.
Dude, well, he hasn't been here the last two times.
I'll show you.
Sorry, I got excited.
I'm the pilot on the ground holding down the objective. Tyson's on his Titan fighting another Titan.
Okay.
I drop my Titan behind him, and then my Titan, Tyson and his, and me Jesus and a pilot Christ. Are all fighting this one guy. He was fucking done.
Yeah.
But that gameplay where I'm on the Titan's shoulders looking at mine, looking at Tyson's.
Your heart's racing, I'm sure.
It's like fucking A. Well,
dude, and I got video. Like, I wish a fucking Microsoft OneDrive would work properly so I could share my videos and stuff that I have, but on one of the levels as a pilot, I jumped up onto the back of this Titan, ripped the panel off, shot the shit out of it, and it was already like pretty low on health, so it only took like a full clip, took him down, jumped off of that Titan right onto another enemy Titan.
Oh, shut up.
Shot the shit out of that one, blew that one up, which went nuclear, and I jumped off and got the fuck out of there, and just in time to turn around. And, like, just to see the thing just, boom, just clear everything out. I was like, that is a badass moment right there.
There was one, because you can ride on your own team's Titans.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris was going across the objective, and they move pretty quick. So I jumped on the back of his Titan, and then he was getting shot at by a rocket.
And Chris also uses the faster-moving Titan, too.
Yeah, so it was worth jumping on his back, because I get there a little quicker. So I'm riding on his back, and there's somebody with an ordnance shooting a rocket at him. So as he got close to the building where the guy was, I jumped off of his Titan, while flying through the air, shot the guy and killed him. Mm-hmm. And it's just shit like that, that it's different experiences that you're getting in this gameplay. It's just fun. It's fun to talk about. Yeah, it's fun to play.
And there is one instance where there's this pilot up on this roof just shooting ordnance at my Titan. And I couldn't fucking get a shot at him. And I'd just gotten out of a battle with another Titan.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty low on health. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to go nuclear on this guy's ass. So I get as close as I can to the building. And he shoots me one more time. I get the eject notification. I eject. Goes nuclear. And I'm up in the air. I've been ejected. And I notice, like, there was no indication that my nuke even hit this guy, right? So, like, my guy's falling. And I see on the rooftop the guy running around. I came right down before I even hit the ground. I hit the melee button, and I, like, jump kicked him as I hit the ground and fucking killed him. It was fucking awesome.
Bitch!
Yeah, exactly. I'll have to show you the video.
It's a fun game. I think the campaign's okay. It's mostly just multiplayer.
Yeah, it's just a series of 9 multiplayer rounds.
I would say it's severely lacking. So only
the campaign
because
was the afterthought this time.
Yeah, and I feel like that the world that it creates is so interesting, it makes it that much more detrimental that there isn't a good campaign. Mm. But the multiplayer is definitely worth the admission price.
Well, I think, I don't think the campaign was an afterthought. I think they're trying to do something quote-unquote new with it by making the campaign an exclusive multiplayer online experience. But the problem is that the campaign, you get very little insight into this world, like Lucas was just saying. Like, it's essentially a series of 9 multiplayer matches that ranges between attrition and hardpoint domination.
But it's frustrating because you're playing the game and
you have to be concentrating
on the game. So the story's going on in like the corner of your HUD, or they're talking and things are happening in the world, but you're so into what's happening in the multiplayer match.
You can't pay attention.
It's the hard story's to tell a good lost. Story, yeah.
question. How does it rank if you put Modern Warfare 2 when that first came out, Halo? How does it rank with those?
I think you'll see a lot of games trying to mimic this.
Yeah. I think it changes it in that previous games, so like, you know, on the 360, we got really into Battlefield 3.
Why did I even
was it two it? Or three? Which one? Did
three I... was the one that we played.
Yeah, it was three.
Because four just came.
Four just came out and it was fucking dog shit. Battlefield 3 was like a lot of fun, but your infantry and that exposed us to, oh my god, I can get into this jet or I can get into this tank or this jeep. You know, kind of introduced vehicles into these giant maps. Yeah, and so that was a lot of fun.
When it was more the scale of it, because you had vehicles in Halo, but you were still in these little sandboxes. Whereas Battlefield, it felt more like a big war.
Yeah, it felt like a big war. And then Call of Duty, you know, that's always just been like really infantry based, right? Mm-hmm. Like just running around, quickest on the trigger. You know, there's always something going on. Well, yeah, you can't shoot through walls. Like to this day, Call of Duty, like how they haven't jumped on that bandwagon of, you know, a fairly destructive environment. But even that being said, I mean, there's not really destructive environments in Titanfall either. But it's a new, interesting dynamic, and I like it because it's really faster. It's fast paced. It's a completely different strategy. Like you can't really run and gun. Okay. Like you really do want to kind of stick by your teammates because you're dead before you can even blink. Sometimes, you know what I mean? It's that quick. And there's different things. I'm a big fan of if someone's pursuing me. If I can get around a corner, I'll jump up on the wall and stick my knife into the wall and hang on the wall. And not enough people have kind of adapted to the Titanfall type of gameplay. It's very linear to them. They have tunnel vision. So they'll turn the corner expecting to still see me running, and I'm not there. I'm above them, and I just unload a clip into the top of their head, and they're gone.
Amazing.
So, you know, things like that and, like, just learning different new strategies, the wall running, the being in a Titan. Like, do you jump in and pilot your Titan?
You can actually skip on the wall, too. Like, you can actually plant that, and then can you jump from there, like, do, like, a double jump?
I don't know. I've never really tried that, to be honest with you.
Oh. Yeah, I've only just fell. Yeah. Like, you're just hanging there, and then you fall down. But, like, there's sections of the map where I'm on one wall, and there's a wall straight across from me. Mm-hmm. With your knife, you can only hang there so long, and you start to slowly fall. I've jumped to the other wall and then hang there. You can infinitely just kind of jump between two walls and hang. I've done that on objectives.
But there's, like, different strategies. Like, I'm a big fan when I call in my Titan to actually pilot it. So I wait for strategic moments. Like, if I just call in Titan after Titan, I could probably get in three or four Titans a game. Mm. But since I kind of, like, save it for an opportune moment, depending on the game type we're playing, I only generally call in a Titan, like, sometimes one or two times a game because I'm waiting for strategic moments to do that, whereas I've noticed Lucas is a big fan of just calling them in when they're there, and if it's not an opportune moment for him to be in piloting it, he puts it on guard mode or follow mode and lets his Titan do its thing.
The majority of the time, I'll drop it on, like, if we're playing hardpoint, I'll drop it on an objective because it's kind of a bitch to deal with that if you're trying to take over an objective and let it guard it for me and I can go take something else out.
And there's an enhancement you can get as a pilot that makes your Titan better at operating without you in it, which actually makes it sounds silly, but it makes a big difference. It makes your Titan more accurate and more effective when you're not piloting it. So I don't know, it's a lot of fun. I mean, there was one point where watching shows during the podcast now, Tom. All right.
This is your segment, motherfucker.
Yeah. There was one point where I was, like, down in, like, this bunker, and I called in my Titan overhead of me, so it was, like, on the roof of this bunker fighting these other Titans, and I'm, like, getting notifications that it's actually beating these other Titans because I had that enhancement on that made it more effective. And then I'm down there in this hard point, like, holding this point, and I'm, like, hiding in a spot, and one of the pilots would come in. I'd kill him, move to a different spot, like, anchor myself on the wall. A couple minutes later, another pilot comes in trying to take the point, kill him. I spent the whole fucking game doing that, just different areas in here, in this room, just strategically, like, placing myself, never staying in one spot for more than one kill. And meanwhile, my Titan's, like, right above me on the roof of this bunker, just beating the shit out of other Titans. So Titanfall is just really awesome. It's really dynamic. I'd recommend if you're a fan of first-person shooters. I hope we get more first-person shooters like this that change things up. But that being said, like, I'm still excited for, like, a next-gen Halo and stuff. But this is...
Battlefront? Because they're going to be going back and forth between Battlefront, Battlefield, and one other... property. I forget which.
What's Battlefront going to bring to it?
Battlefront, Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, that'll be awesome.
That's next gen. And then EA just got the gal from... Oh, what company is it? They just announced it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I don't remember her name.
From Naughty Dog.
Yes.
From Naughty Dog, who did Last of Us. She went over to do Star Wars games with EA.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Which is awesome.
Which, I mean, obviously. She's got a lot of that Naughty Dog experience. We may not get 13-13, but we'll get that 13-13...
Something, yeah.
Piece, yeah.
Which would be cool. She's got a lot of that Naughty Dog.
Jesus.
So, I don't know. If Titanfall seems to change up a lot of things, but I still think it was very much like a test the water sort of thing. Because sometimes when I'm playing, I was like, oh, well, it would have been cool if they did this or this or this. But overall, it's a great game.
I wonder, too, if you'll see Microsoft throw a shit ton of money at Respawn. Because right now it's exclusive to Microsoft, and they've said that 2 could come out on PlayStation. I wondered with how successful it's been if Microsoft throws a shit ton of money. It's like, you're exclusive to us now.
It sold consoles.
I would buy that on PlayStation. Yeah.
So, all right. So, moving on from Titanfall, Tom, you want to talk about Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls?
Yeah.
Before you get into the download, Diablo, is it a two-player? I know it's multiplayer online.
Yeah,
so. But can I sit with someone in my living room and play this?
No. You'd have to have two PCs in your living room. Now, on the PlayStation, I believe you can. Does that make sense? Like, I believe on the PlayStation it does have that type of multiplayer experience.
That's how I'd be playing it.
Yeah. It's got that side-by-side multiplayer. But for the PC experience, no. You each have to have your own PC to go through that. It's good, though. I really like it. You know,
I've liked the Diablo.
And your base storyline is essentially, so Diablo's gone. He's dead. And with that, there's like a power void, right? And so Tyrael's brother, Uzrael, who is the Grim Reaper, essentially, or Angel of Death, or whatever, he like went fucking crazy, and now he's trying to harvest souls. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool. Like, it's kind of funny, because like, at the point I'm in, like, I really haven't played enough of it, I guess, but the creature type of everything is a Reaper. So it gets kind of funny, because you're like, oh, haunting ghost, hashtag Reaper, and like, everything's a Reaper. But the thing that blows my mind is, and a lot of the community has like, oh, fucking Blizzard makes more of the same, and we're all playing it. That's what's insane about this, is it's more of the same, and I still fucking love it. Like, it's a good, solid dungeon crawler. A couple things that I really like, the drops are a lot more consistent and more fun. I've already replaced my entire armor set in 3 hours. I've seen way more I've seen as many legendaries in my first 3 hours of this as I saw the entire game of Diablo 3. So they're really cranking up the drops, making it a little more fun to invest your time.
That's good.
Yeah, and the new paladin type class is really, really cool too. I haven't rolled one, but you can power level one really quickly if you want. But Rich was actually rolling through with his as a tank, and it was a lot of fun to have him kind of backing us. Way more tanky than the warrior, a little more health, a little more armor.
Which is why Rich hasn't been playing Titanfall, by the way.
Right, yeah, he's been on Diablo.
I asked him.
Yeah,
how come you haven't been playing Titanfall with us? He's like, Diablo 3, man.
Right. Well, it's funny because I was playing with...
I see him on there a lot, because I'll hop on at night to play StarCraft, and it shows me who was on Blizzard. And
yeah.
I got Blizzard Rich.
Well, and it's pretty funny because Jacob and I were rolling through together, and like we sent him an invite and sent him a message at like 10 a.m., and at about 1:30 in the afternoon, Rich like shows up in our game with like this fucking legendary motherfucking character, and he's like, "All right, let's do this." And so like we start just blowing through story, and he's like,
"Newfound free time,
right?" Yeah, and then he's like, "You know what? Hold on." And then he comes back with like a mid level character that's our level. I'll just take this one with me. it's pretty cool, but I like it a lot. I mean, if you're a Diablo person, I don't see why you shouldn't go pick this up. You know, yeah, sure, it's Blizzard doing more of the same. But the other thing I like is that Blizzard did close the Money Auction House, so that's gone, like the real world auction house is out of there, which kind of gets rid of a lot of the spam and chat of people selling shit, and I'm having a blast playing it, so I really
Blizzard.
Like it. Yeah.
They put out solid games.
Mm-hmm. And it's a really dynamic, I don't know, it's just fun. And I haven't tried the Monk, I don't know if they brought the Monk up to speed again, because I know the Monk got nerfed in a patch, but we'll see what happens.
So, Bioshock Infinite, which, by the way, I finally played and beat. Because it was a PS3 or the PlayStation Network free game last month or the month before.
Which makes it even more sad that they're closing up shop.
Oh my gosh, that Irrational's leaving. Well, and honestly though, after the way they wrapped up Infinite.
I don't think they need to come back for another game.
I don't think nobody can follow that.
So the final DLC, like what?
So essentially, you know, the DLC package they did 3. They did Clash in the Clouds, which was basically just like a multiplayer, like a waves of enemies come at you, fight them. And the second one was Burial at Sea Episode 1. There's Burial at Sea Episode 2. So Burial at Sea Episode 1, you're playing as Booker DeWitt again, and you're with Elizabeth, but you're in Rapture. And you're looking for Sally.
Isn't it more like a Private Eye kind
of
story?
Yeah, and you're actually the Private Eye in Rapture, and you come out of the office just like you do, but you're one of the other lighthouse type things, you know, because there's always a man, there's always a lighthouse. And you're basically following Elizabeth around, and she's trying to help you find Sally, who's the little sister, right?
So does that very much link it to the Bioshock
game? It does, yeah. So you start going through it, and basically the end of it is you get to the end, you find Sally, and you've trapped her in the heating vents and locked her out. And Elizabeth has done this whole elaborate scenario to bring back your memories of who you are. And the final piece of her going, now you get to pay for your sins, Comstock. And you turn and look at her, and she's got a fucking big daddy standing next to her, and it kills you. And that's like it. That's the end of episode one. So you're, whoa. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, I set down the controller, I'm like, the fucking bitch. Like, what the fuck?
So episode two's
out, and it's, you know, about 2.5 hours, 2 hours. But episode two comes out, you're Elizabeth, and you're laying on the ground, and Atlas is there. For those who don't remember who Atlas is, he's the guy that's guiding you through Bioshock 1. He's the Would You Kindly guy. So end of Bioshock 1, you know, Would You Kindly is your activation phrase, that how he tells you how to do everything, right? Is anyone here gonna, I don't know, spoiler alert from this point on, guys, because I really want to talk about how amazing the story is.
I'm excited to hear it.
Okay, so you start going through all everything. You're hunting, you're Sally, or not Sally, you're Elizabeth, and Elizabeth can see...
And now this is Burial at Sea episode 2?
Part 2, yeah. Okay. This is the final DLC.
So she killed Comstock, this is the same continuity?
She killed Comstock, yes, but then she killed him again, a different version of him that's Booker DeWitt out of, like, her rage. So in this one, you're essentially dealing with your guilt because you killed Sally to kill Comstock. So you killed this little girl. Huh. And you feel just terrible about it. So you're going... So, like, for some reason, you made a deal with the Lutesses to go back to this specific reality, full well knowing that she would forget everything she knows. She won't be able to open tears. She's no longer omniscient. She doesn't know everything. She can't see all the realities because she knows she has to go do something. And so you get caught by Atlas, and you're going through the whole thing. And you finally get to a point where Atlas is sending you off the ace in the hole. And they tie everything up so beautifully. So, essentially, first of all, you find out that Elizabeth is a little sister. Sally is another version of Elizabeth. That's why they're dressed the same. That's why they all look the same.
Hmm.
You run into, like, another dead version of her. And there's all kinds of crazy shit. And they're just answering questions left and right. And then, all right, guys, turn the podcast off if you haven't played it yet at this point. Please. And then tweet at me later about it, 'cause it's amazing. But... you get to this ending, and you find the ace in the hole, and it's a picture of the guy from Bioshock 1, the main protagonist, Atlas, and if I remember right, it's the doctor, Su Chong. And you've already seen all this terrible shit, how, like, Su Chong makes this kid, like, he's training these children, he makes the kid kill a puppy and do all this stuff, and Su Chong's been leaving codes for you to decipher, and Elizabeth deciphers the code, and the code just says, "Would you kindly?" And so you give Atlas his ace in the hole, and he goes, "What does it say before she dies?" And she's laughing, and she says, "It says, would you kindly?" And he goes, "Put the motherfucker on the plane. We have the activation phrase," and it goes to the very beginning of Bioshock 1, where the plane's going down, and it shows the main character killing everybody on the plane and crashing it into the ocean because he read the activation phrase. So essentially, Elizabeth... So
it's a big loop.
Yeah, it's a big, giant loop, but Elizabeth... sets all of it off, knowing that by doing that, she will kill Andrew Ryan, she will bring down Rapture, she will destroy everybody, and that's what she sent herself back to do. So it's just, they really wrapped everything up in this gorgeous loop that ties it back to everything. So,
wow.
Rich would hate it. I loved it. I mean, it was just one of the greatest things I've seen in years. I was so stoked
by it. Makes it quite the trilogy, then.
It really does, yeah. And it's something that I feel that, you know... I don't think, and I said this in the last podcast, and I'll say it again, I don't think anybody should touch this franchise for 50 years. I really don't. I don't think anyone should try to recreate it. I feel like, to me, this is one of those games that, like, in 30 years, whatever I'm doing, people look back and be like, "What do you think about this?" And I'll be like, I still look back on this as something that, like, gave me chills. Like, I'm getting chills just talking about it right now. It was just awesome. So impressive. So what a great game.
I'll have to play through that.
So dark and fucked up. Like, they took you back to the worst parts of Rapture in this game. And, like, Su Chong is a motherfucker. He is a terrible, terrible person.
Is Rapture the underground stuff?
It's the underwater stuff, yeah. And that's the other thing, is it really wraps in 2 as well, because in 2 you're going after, what is the woman's name that's over the little sisters? I can't remember her name.
I've never played 2.
Okay, but remember. Basically the whole point of 2 is, like, you're trying to save the little sisters, and there's Tenenbaum. Thank you.
Tenenbaum.
And Tenenbaum... is like protecting the little sisters, and she's like, and there's this great moment where you read a letter that she wrote to Su Chong, and it's basically like, you know what, we have to live with what we've done to these little girls. And it was just incredible. It was so cool. So I loved it.
I gotta replay that stuff.
It's great.
So Towerfall Ascension,
Super Smash Brothers on the PS4. Essentially, it's really like 8-bit. It's actually a remake of a classic, I guess, that I'd never played. Basically, you pick an archer. There's 4 classes. And you can play co-op. There was a really good stream of Jacob and I getting super drunk playing it on hardcore. and basically what happens is waves of monsters come in the single rooms. And it's kind of like, do you remember the old, not Super Mario Bros., but just Mario Bros., where you'd have the POW in the middle and you have to jump on the heads of the bad guys? It's like that type of level layout. You can carry arrows. You get a limited supply of arrows throughout the level, and they grow, and you have to pick up the arrows as you shoot them. And you're fighting these crazy waves of monsters and dodging obstacles. But then you can do head-to-head battles against up to 4 people as well, just battling in these arenas. And it's fun. It is super fucking fun. Like, there was parts where we were, like, laughing our asses off because we would do these incredible, like, moments where you would dash, dodge a monster, hit him on the head, shoot your arrow, kill one, but then the arrow would go through. It would come over the middle section, and it would drop and kill your buddy because there's friendly fire, and you just fucked yourself and lost the whole game. Like, it was super cool.
That sounds like fun.
I think it's like $15.
It's over there losing its fucking
mind. Like, is there a Red Wings joke I'm missing? I don't get it.
It's the hardcore thing.
sounds like fun.
So it's a lot of fun. Like, it's something that's really cool. Like, to sit down and jam out on people. But if you can sit, I mean, to me, it still boggles me. And take into account, I didn't pick up Infamous because it's not really my jam. I didn't like the first 2 very much, so the 3rd Infamous wasn't something I was really amped on. I've heard nothing but good, but it's kind of funny to me that, you know, we're in a next-gen console, and for PlayStation right now, I'm playing a fucking 8-bit shooter. You know what I mean?
Right, so, not quite as next-gen.
Right, I mean, it's fun, it's just different.
So, Final Fantasy X and X-2 HD.
Before we get into this, is this the soccer dude?
Yeah, the Blitzball stuff.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Tom. I was gonna.
This
ask
is
you
where
about
I kind of gave up on Final Fantasy.
Angelic, play any of this?
No, I haven't watched any of the streams.
He's been streaming this lately.
I haven't watched any of that. I honestly played like an hour and a half of it. Mm-hmm. I like it. It's Final Fantasy, but at the same time, 10 was never one of my favorites. It's my wife's favorite. She's been jamming on it really hard. Mm-hmm. It looks really good.
Now is 10 Lightning Strikes?
No, 10 is...
I always confuse
that. No, that's 13-2. You're thinking of Lightning Returns in 13-2, okay. Yeah. So this is that same idea, but it's cool. It's a great HD remix. It's $40. The only complaint I have is that, for me, I'm about crossplay. It would be a lot better for me to play it on my Vita. I had to buy it for my wife on PS3. If I want to get the Vita experience, Square Enix is charging me another $40 to play it. So I have to buy it twice. Yeah. And there's no cross saves or anything like that, which is kind of a pain in the ass. But if you're a Final Fantasy X fan, it's great. Dive in.
Nice.
But,
so before we hop into Mario Kart 8 real quick, I just want to mention this. It sounds like they're making a new Gauntlet game.
They are. PC.
Yes. For PC?
Just for PC?
I thought it was consoles too.
Niggers.
Oh, well, fuck it. I don't care then.
I do, so I'm going to play it and probably tell you about it.
If it's on a computer, I can play it on. If it's on Mac, yeah, I'll play it.
I'm pretty sure if I remember right, I'll have to look it up, but I think Warner Brothers' game official announcement is that the Gauntlet game was going to be a PC game.
Damn it.
I'll Google it and I'll bring it up after the break.
So I have one game I want to talk about after Mario Kart, but next up, Mario Kart. It's Mario Kart, but have you seen the trailer for it?
Be further from interested. Do you have to talk?
Have you seen the trailer?
I love Mario Kart.
Man, Kart 7 really burned me. Like,
they did 7 Mario Karts?
On the 3DS?
This is 8.
Good. 7 was on 3DS. Good God. Right?
Didn't
it was handheld.
7 was for the Wii as well, and then it came to 3DS.
The motorcycle one? The Wii one? Is it the one that you disliked? Yep. This one looks gorgeous. Oh, and it looks like a lot of fun.
I hope it is. I just, I'm really like, I feel about Mario Kart right now like I feel about Mario Party.
I never really cared one way about
Mario Party.
Like all 15 of them?
No, I have like 7. Wow. Which is the one you gave back to me.
They're up to 8 now.
Yeah, so like...
No, 9.
Is there no, one I think, the Wii? I think they're up to... No,
he has the Wii one.
9.
They're up to 9, because 8 was on Wii, 9 is also on Wii.
8 was on GameCube.
He has...
No.
Mario Party 8 was on GameCube.
No, you're wrong.
All right.
Look it up.
Well,
Wikipedia,
regardless, the
shit.
New Mario Kart looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Rainbow I'll be buying Road it.
Looks badass.
Yeah, it looks awesome. We'll play that game much. But what I really want to talk about, which I don't know if anybody here besides Tom has seen this, is Goat Simulator.
I've seen it. I've seen it.
I need to get that game for Matt.
I wanted it. I wanted.
Have you seen that? The gameplay for that, Jimmy?
Seriously.
Jimmy, this game is for you. Have you seen it?
You need this game.
So, people listening to the podcast that haven't seen it, for April Fool's 1 year...
This is high five to Goat Simulator.
Mario Party 8. There's a dev studio that did a joke that they were on April Fool's going to make a game about playing as a goat, like a goat simulator. Mm-hmm. And people love the idea enough that they turned it into a full, well, almost a full fledged game. So you play this goat, but you almost have like superpowers because you can use your tongue to like grab stuff, but then you could just ram into shit and it goes flying, get hit by cars, and you get achievements for doing just the craziest shit. So that it's just funny. It's goat hauling ass and like slamming into barrels and shit. Uh-huh. So they did their game launch trailer. If you remember for Dead Island, they had the trailer that had nothing to do with anything.
It was awesome.
So it had
that
like the little girl.
For Dead Island.
They did the exact same trailer, but with the goat as the main character, like going up into the building. I can't wait to play this game when it comes to Mac at some point.
It'll be amazing.
What's it called?
Goat Simulator.
So did they jump the goat up out of the hotel? Because I remember they were in a hotel room. He's like, and then the father comes in like, so we got to get out of here. And then
So the goat, it looks fucking hilarious. And any stream I've seen of people playing it, it's like $10.
I'll have to buy it.
Oh, question. Speaking of Dead Island, did any of you play that? The newest installment of it.
No, I didn't.
Mine and Lucas's experience with the first one.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
I was psyched for that.
We were really excited.
Podcast. I was like, yeah, I'm not buying it.
Dude, seriously, like after that motherfucker jacked my Jeep and left me in the middle of fucking nowhere. Fuck that game.
I liked a lot of the concepts it had. It just didn't deliver.
It was too long and it was too much.
Because you're playing fucking cards with somebody while you're trying to save.
I have never rummaged through so much goddamn luggage on an island.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about. It's like you have to rummage through every little thing. And when you're playing this as like a multiplayer game, it's like, oh, hold on, man. There's a bunch of stuff over here because I need a new saw blade for my fucking bat or so. Like, it just got so fucking tedious. And I just remember Lucas and I on a Saturday afternoon, like, what are you watching now?
Pulling a Tom. He's watching Goat Simulator.
I want to watch it on the break.
Okay, so to move on to this.
Well, no, hold on. I was going to say, Lucas and I sat down on a Saturday afternoon, and we're like, we probably only got, we're really far into this. I'm not really enjoying this. You're not really enjoying this, but we've come this far. We have to beat the fucking game. We've probably only got, like 3 hours left. Yeah, like 6 or 7,
It went into like a whole other world, like section of the world, and I was like, "I'm fucking done. You can finish it on your own if you want."
Well, and
no, you finished.
I remember beating it.
You finished it with me.
It mustn't have been that great of an experience.
I remember like it was like on the plane or on the helicopter, like on top of the building. I promise you finished it with me.
I might have. Like I said, it mustn't have left an impression.
Because we sat down at like a 1 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. We're like, probably a couple hours. It was like 6 o'clock, and we were both like, I'm fucking selling this game.
That was done.
So I hated it enough that it was on sale on Steam. You can get Riptide, the whole thing, for like $11.95. And I didn't do it. And I buy almost anytime there's a deal that good on Steam, unless I'm broke, I'm like, fuck yeah!
I will suck your dick for this game.
Yeah, no. And just, it was so bad. If you're excited about Goat Simulator, have you been following Mugenics?
No.
If you're excited about Goat Simulator,
you will love Cow Simulator.
No. So that's actually, there's a whole thing about that fucking cow game on Facebook. But Mugenics is done by the Super Meat Boy team.
I have seen
cats
that.
With like the fucking crazy old cat lady, and it looks insane. It looks super stupid fun.
I have seen the ads for that. So did you play the Stanley Parable or Parable?
No, I don't know how you... I bought it, but I haven't run through it yet. I got it on Humble Bundle.
Everybody should play that game.
Of course you did.
Yeah,
it's kind of, if you've ever played like Portal or that Humble kind Bundle. Of humor.
Yeah, you know what the Humble Bundle is?
That's a good one.
All right. You're welcome for the free publicity, Humble Bundle. All 7 of our listeners now know what you are. Basically, they get game studios together, and they do it for charity. So you can pay whatever you want for a bundle of games. But if you pay above the average, you get, like, bonuses. So, for example, last year I bought the EA bundle. It was, like, I paid $6.75, I think. I went a dollar over the average. I got Dead Space, Dead Space 2, Battlefield 3, which I gave to somebody because I already had it.
Madden.
And there was no Madden. It was all shooters.
Oh, okay.
But like, you can do some for like Double Fine did a bundle that I bought. There's an Android bundle with a whole bunch of Android games.
That Capcom one, if they ever did a Capcom one,
that'd be sick. Like, they do all kinds of cool shit. And so you just pay a couple bucks. So I got the Stanley Parable in that at some point. So I need to run through that.
It's you're like in an office and there's a narrator talking to you and says, you know, Stanley had this job where he just pushed a button all day and. And then at a certain point in the day, like, he realized nobody was around him. And so you get up and you walk around. And while you're walking around, the narrator's narrating what you're doing.
So it's like that movie with Will Ferrell.
Yeah, yeah. But, okay. Stranger Than Fiction.
Yeah, which I loved.
So as it's narrating stuff, the game, it's really quick. Like, you get to an ending in, like, 5 minutes. But it has multiple endings. So at one point when you're walking through the office, the narrator says, and then Stanley goes through the door on the left. And you can go through the door on the right. And if you go on the door on the right, then the narrator's like, well, and then Stanley decided not to go. And so it has all these weird That's deviations. Cool. And it's really clever. Like, there's different parts where you can get through, like, the broken sections of the map. And then the narrator talks about, like, oh, and the gamer thought he was really clever. And he found an area that was broken in the game. But really, he just broke the game. And now we just get to sit here with this white screen. And it's That's really cool. funny.
I'll have nice. To play it. So.
All right, so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to let Jimmy rant on about esports for half an hour.
I want to talk about some StarCraft esports.
I feel like that's like our StarCraft. New video game discussion trend.
It seems to be, so we'll be right Jimmy back. Stick esports. Around. All right, let's watch this go.
What up, Internet? This is Tom from the Entertainment is Dead podcast, and if you haven't had enough of me already, come on over to entertainmentisdead.com where you'll get some quality stuff like this.
Like, he took his game studio and he went home.
He's part of the Sriracha relocation program.
You got a hater.
You
I really
liked
just
it.
Don't want that to be the one that breaks my computer's cherry.
So you can come grab this dose of ridiculousness every Wednesday until the end of time. You can find us once again at www.entertainmentisdead.com where you can stream the audio right off the site, on iTunes, also on Stitcher. If you want to communicate with us, you can reach us on Twitter at EIDpodcast. We're basically everywhere. We'll catch you guys
back
there.
To the latest episode of the Big Shiny Podcast where we are talking about video games and we are going to jump into a discussion about esports. Jimmy, Tom, this is your fucking bag, so you...
What just happened?
That's the sound to go.
Oh, well, go.
So now I know what a podcast starring you two would mean like.
Well, I believe it is your turn to speak.
It is your turn.
No,
it is your turn.
It is your turn to speak.
I don't know what I want to say about esports.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'll start my thing that I'm really excited for, and it'll actually probably have already happened by the time this goes live, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's happening now.
It's up to you, Tom.
No, Topanga's next weekend.
Yes.
No, it's not up to me, because I'll edit it pretty quick, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, so right now it's Texas Showdown, but the Topanga League
the bar
final.
Fights.
It's the guys that do the bar fights, I think,
yeah.
But it's the weekend tournament. And
yep.
So Topanga League, which is pretty much the best Japanese players get together and battle it out. I've actually invited an American Street Fighter player to play, which I think is a big deal.
Yeah.
PRog, who's a Balrog player, will be there.
So we're down those racial borders.
Yeah. No, seriously, so that's... You
I
have to
know
understand.
What the discussion is, though.
So I don't know what the discussion is. Jimmy put esports and ended up on the agenda.
Esports is taking over, right?
Okay, so look. In all fairness, there was actually an article out. Talking about the growing popularity of esports, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much it's grown, like, exponentially year right. over year over year, right? It's becoming a big thing, you know, with the ability to stream stuff as easy as it is now. I mean, you got people just streaming random shit, like...
Goat Simulator
like,
playthroughs.
Yeah, like you or like the Plants vs. Zombies Warfare third-person
Or you could
game.
Stream you playing Titanfall.
Well,
yeah, like, and like, in my head, I'm like... you know, oddly enough, I'm not so as arrogant to think like, oh, someone's going to want to watch me play Titanfall. Like, but people fucking do it and people fucking watch, right?
But at the same time, it's a cool thing from another side of it too. So like from the Street Fighter perspective on the streaming, you know, there was a day I was at home, I was off, and I was like, man, I need to practice some Street Fighter. So, you know, I threw up on the stream, started playing, and my buddy started sending me messages. Hey, you're fucking this up. Hey, you're fucking this up. Hey, you're fucking this up. So you've got people that are better at you at something watching it from that third perspective and sending, like, my Skype is just going. So then after I stop the match, I look at the Skype and it's like, oh, I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be doing this. So if you want to get better, it almost gives you that.
It's different.
That
it's
outlet, different. Right?
Tom wants to get better for those Street Fighter tournaments. It's different, he'll never enter.
Right.
Because I was in.
I gotta fucking practice.
A stream.
It's a. And I get it though, like with StarCraft. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm never going to go be MLG, but it's fun to pick something to get better at.
Yeah, it gives you something to work towards, something to focus on. And I think, you know, the growing popularity of it, I think that's something that. I don't know if we've had this debate before, but what does that mean as a gamer? Like, think about, like, the opinion of gamer culture. Like, really, let's think about it. And I mean this in the fullest way.
The community? Like, the.
Yeah,
like
the community. The
fighting community? Or just,
no, just the gaming community as a whole. Like, you tell somebody you're a gamer, they look at you like you're a fucking idiot.
I think it's evolving.
It is evolving. And I think the thing we need to look at is, you know, so with esports moving into this huge popularity, what becomes acceptable, what becomes not acceptable, right? Because you start getting that borderline of corporate sponsorship, things like...
Well, Twitch improving constantly. Mm-hmm. To where Twitch used to suck, to the point where you said you didn't even want it on your phone, right?
So where you start getting these people that just play video games, mm-hmm. and some of them for a living, some of them do it as a hobby, but they're just really fucking good at it, and suddenly shit they start to say matters.
Mm-hmm. There's a guy I follow. His name is, he only goes by Kit Rock is his handle, mm-hmm. but he has a particular play style for StarCraft that is very unique and I thought was kind of funny, and I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to get good at something, I want to try to get good at this. Because with StarCraft, there are certain builds you can do right. as a race. And if you're playing as a race and I'm playing as the opposite race, we can usually guess what the other person's going to do, and his build is way off of that. So he's not, like, famous. He doesn't do tournaments. He's not at the top league. Right. He's close to the top, but he makes enough money through streaming with donations that's all he does.
Yeah.
It's just streaming.
So I think that's the thing, is you start building this influence, right? And, you know, I view this as the same idea as, like, you know, the Mozilla founder, for example, who got ousted 2 days ago from his seat for his comments, right? And we start to look at that, so maybe that would be part of the discussion we could have, is how does that look for us in the future? I mean, as a gamer...
Hold on, explain this Mozilla thing.
So essentially, and this has nothing to do with video games, really, but the founder, Ike...
I don't know his name.
Anyway, he donated money towards... Was it Prop 8 that he put money towards?
Some anti-gay marriage thing. And within the company, people
rebelling against that. Half of the board of directors resigned in protest when they found out. He had all kinds of uprising inside of it. Sites like OkCupid, for example, would actually check if you were loading it through Firefox and post a message explaining why you shouldn't use Firefox. And he ended up leaving Mozilla over that. I mean, he was eventually forced out within a few days of this whole drama thing. And so you look at that, right? Something like Mozilla. But then you think of stuff like terms from gaming, terms, things that I've tried to teach myself not to say that I picked up during gaming, right? Like... You know, like World of Warcraft, you know, you gank somebody. But when they say ganking, they're like, yeah, and I raped the shit out of that person. Probably not acceptable in normal everyday conversation, right? But I can think of hundreds of YouTube videos I've watched that are super funny that have that type of terminology. So I guess that's more my thought process, is when does that start becoming something that's looked at differently? Because there's a very different look at how this is handled. You know, we talk about, you know, sexism in gaming and that whole... perpetuated problem within the culture, and it's not just gaming culture in general, but I do feel that there's a much wider divide there.
I think for that, as long as you're mature and you hold yourself, like, if I don't want to say it, if you're dumb enough to stay in the internet lingo and to talk a bunch of shit like that, then you deserve whatever scrutiny or whatever hate comes. All
right, I completely agree, but like
you gotta carry yourself and separate yourself. Like, if you want to contribute to the community via stream or whatever, and you want to type like, oh, salty, and you throw a fucking salt shaker for, you know, like, After that, don't fucking talk to your wife like that, because then she's gonna be like, "What the fuck are you talking?" You
know. Well, but at the same time, like, so I'll leave names and people out of it. But as an example, like playing online, you know, and you get into a game and dude's like, "Yo, what up, faggot, motherfucking faggot, blah blah blah," right? And
that's like playing with me.
No, it's not though. It's not. And they're saying that type of stuff, and I'm thinking back, like, all right, and this is a very recent playthrough of this happening to me, and I'm like, and I get it. That's like in whatever this is going on. That's like an affectionate, usable term, right? I'm like, okay, if I said
any... Can be. I mean, I don't know.
But if I said this shit...
I think it's the anonymity.
Anonymity, right.
Of the internet. So right. You can still get away with those kinds of things, but as gaming culture becomes more in the spotlight, it's not...
Streaming especially. It can't be done. I don't think you can say that.
You won't get the clout at any point, you know?
What it comes down to is gaming, it needs to mature. Is essentially what it comes down to, right? Because if you want to be taken seriously, you can't be perceived as a bunch of shit-talking little kids online that are hiding behind this blanket of anonymity.
Right.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just shit-talking. I mean, and look at it this way. Like, I'm going to use bowling for an example, right? Bowling for me is like beer league type of stuff, right? Like, you sign up for some amateur league, you drink some beers, and you throw a ball down a lane and hit some pins, right? To me, it's amateur hour, right? But you got like ESPN2, who shows bowling tournaments. These guys act very professional, not like the asshats at the bowling alley, right? They've got corporate sponsorships and they carry themselves like professionals. As an outsider view who doesn't partake in this stuff very often, aside from like what you guys send to me or like what all happened across online, you've still got just a bunch of punk ass kids trying to legitimize.
I disagree.
I do as well, but
I'm telling you what a third.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, but like, if you actually watch like a tournament, like StarCraft tournaments,
right? And I think it depends on the game.
Like, that's probably true. But like a StarCraft tournament, when people play that, when you start around, each person says GLHF, which is good luck, have fun, which is just that's like handshakes
or
you know?
GG.
And then when you leave a match, you say GG, which is good game. Right? Yeah, and you have corporate sponsorship and different things like that. But if you don't GG in a tournament, a lot of times you can get booted from the tournament. Like, there are certain manners that you have to have. Right. There's no name calling. There's no shit
talking. What do they call bad manners? Is like making your, like in StarCraft, like bad manners. Yeah, and it makes them dance, right? Like, that's your bad manners, is your guys shift left and right real quick, and that's a bad manners thing. Like, and it's, but that's like the biggest insult.
Well, you could do a lot of crazy bad manners in StarCraft.
Right.
But in tournaments
in general.
Yeah,
but I don't taunt.
See, but...
But I've never watched, like, a Street Fighter tournament, so I don't know. Dan.
Well, and that's the thing, like, I have to say, like...
on that end of it.
Excluding him.
Yeah, well, Dan, you have to, but... So I think the thing about Street Fighter tournaments is, like, so I can even talk about, because I've been watching Street Fighter tournaments for probably, I don't know, a year and a half now, which is crazy to think about, maybe a year. But even watching that evolution, you're seeing it grow up. And to me, it's very funny because I think what spawned Jimmy wanting to have this conversation is there's a very prominent figure in the fighting game community. I don't actually know his real name. Yipes is his tag.
Yeah,
But he just launched like his own website, his own brand. He sells merchandise and he does these video blogs. And his first one was basically like him eating some lunch and then just talking about how he feels about the fighting game community, these tournaments he's trying to build. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he talks about, you know, don't worry about the esports takeover. It doesn't matter. We're all here to have fun.
Yep.
But I feel like... for it to reach what we all want it to reach, it has to take over. Like, I feel like esports is a necessary thing for it to happen, for it to get to the level we want to see it succeed. Like, we're
so
all,
for what to get to what level?
For gaming to be considered a real legitimate thing.
Gaming will become a real legitimate thing just based on people of our generation growing up,
right,
and continuing to play games.
But
why does it need to become like some real legitimate thing? I mean, for me, video games are fun. And if people find additional fun in these organized tournaments and everything, that's great. More power to them. But why do you need legitimacy found outside of the gaming culture for that to... It's like football, for example, right? Like, I'm one of those people that I have a foot in both worlds, right? Like, I watch baseball, I watch football, I watch college ball, like, and I find a lot of enjoyment of that. Mm-hmm. But then I'll shut the game off and go downstairs and play some video games, right? And... Like, I think it's fair to say that I'm at least at minimum average at video games.
Right.
But just because, like, you know, I enjoy football, and me being in the culture that I am, like, heavily in the geek community, there's a ton of people out there that, like, just a bunch of fucking meatheads slamming helmets together. Like, I don't fucking care. Like, I don't...
But I think that the thing for me, like, what I see it from is a technology standpoint. So let's put sports on my plate now. I'm not a sports guy. I would love to watch football with my wife because she's, you know, she follows the Utes. She follows college ball really religiously. She and I have both agreed, and we laugh about it because every college football season, we both look and go, should we get cable just for college football? And we both go, nah. But through the gaming side of it, there are people in the fighting game community alone that have the production rig. They could stream a college football game. Does that make sense? So I feel like if these two worlds can start moving up to merging...
Like Rog and Wong and them.
Yeah, a lot of guys. Like, well, you know, you look at Team Spooky. Alex Valle's team, Level Up Live. They already run... Level Up Live ran a lot of the Dota stuff for a couple competitions. They helped stream a bunch of stuff
Southwest. Dota and all that. Yeah, it kills on Twitch.
Yeah, like, it does. And it's a lot of fun to watch. So I think my thing is like... I don't think it has to be necessarily considered legitimate, but when there's more money there... Yeah, and it becomes legitimate, and there's a personality and an attitude to it.
Yep.
It's more availability for people to enjoy because that's something I'm
looking for. Because it could take Tom, and Tom could quit his job and make money off this.
Well, and it's not even.
I think it'll come hand in hand that, you know, with our generation. With our generation, but then you have sponsorships and different things. The more eyes you have on these tournaments, like League of Legends, mm-hmm. the more people that they want to get money into that. Because they want their advertising there.
Right.
Because there's people there. And the more money you get into that, the more that's at stake and the more professionalism that has to be carried because of that.
Exactly.
So I think it's just going to be a snowball. Yeah. You know, more money, more professionalism.
So maybe there's just not a lot of debate there. I'm not sure what the debate we were looking for was. I mean, I'm just really excited that we're seeing a lot of really cool shit hitting in that way. And I feel like the way the technology is going that if all TV is an IPTV in 10 years, I don't know what the hell it'll be. But
I think it's just an evolution of... Because look, all right, I'm going to be perfectly frank with you. I think esports is fucking silly.
It is.
I do. And
that's kind of rude to say. That'd be like me saying, Tyson, I think NFL is fucking silly.
And that's what I was going
to
get
to. But it's just kind of disrespectful in a way to say that.
I'm not meaning it in any disrespectful way. And I was going to get to that. Brian Young thinks football is absolutely fucking silly.
Right? And I think it's disrespectful, just in general. Sorry, that's just like a pet peeve of mine.
It is.
Okay, well, that's fine. I'm just telling you, like, I don't see... It's video games. To me, it's a hobby. Like, to try to, like, professionalize video games to me...
Absolutely. Well,
and this is someone that's grown up playing video games. I think it's, like... It's weird. Like, that you guys, like, watch this stuff and find so much enjoyment. It's not something that I can connect with. And, like, Jimmy sends me videos all the time, right? And I watch them, like, oh, okay, yeah, that was cool. I will never go out and, like, try to find this stuff on my own, right? So it's like, I don't know, like, hearing you guys talk about it just seems...
We pay grown-ass men hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to put a ball through a hoop.
Right, yeah. And how is that any less or more legitimate than people playing Street Fighter?
I completely agree with you.
I think, like, right now, like... You've kind of got the mix because you got people that have grown up playing video games like me that don't see the value in it. It's like, what? This is kind of weird. This is video games. Like, sit down and play with your friends and have some fun, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but I think, like, even generations after who grow up with the streaming available to them from the get-go, where they sit down and play Street Fighter and, like, watch the streams of the tournaments, I think that's when you'll start seeing it grow to where you want it to be. Like, someone like me... I'm never going to get into it. It's not my bag to sit down and watch hours of a Street Fighter tournament. It's not my thing, right? But with a kid on the way, who knows? Maybe my daughter grows up to be a gamer and she has that capability there and available to her, and that's what she's into. So, and I mean, I didn't mean any disrespect with the silliness. I'm just trying to say, like, it for me, much like with so many, you know, quote unquote geeks out there that don't like sports or just downright hate them. Like, I don't hate the esports thing. I think that's great if that's your bag and you find enjoyment in it, do it, watch it, participate in it, whatever. But I don't connect with it. And I think right now, and I'm a geek, right? Like, I collect stuff, I play games and stuff like that. So I think you're kind of finding with, like, the current generation, there's a little bit of that split right now.
And I think you're right. Sense. And I guess...
It doesn't make sense.
And I guess the thing that we're seeing, too, that I'm excited about is, we talked about this after the League of Legends World Finals. in LA, which I really wish I could have made it out to. I mean, they packed the Staples Center. Packed it.
No, that's crazy.
It was nuts. Like, the energy in that room was insane, right? And you see StarCraft, was it WCS? They were tweeting pictures of it just recently.
Yeah. Or EIM?
Yeah, it? I don't know. I can't remember what it was, but I mean, they were, but they just booked, was it Wembley Stadium?
I don't know.
It's, no, it's wherever they just did, wherever London did a lot of the Olympic stuff just recently. They actually just booked that to do the WCS season, I think.
Really?
Yeah, so we're talking literally where they did the Olympics, and they're going to be rocking StarCraft matches.
It's a lot of, and there's just,
it's a lot of hype.
You get a lot of people looking at it, and it's a lot of people looking from their computers. There's a lot of money.
It's a lot of eyes. Well, and I think it moves to that whole web revolution, right? Like, when I did my LA Zadushku interview 2 weeks ago, that was something really kind of interesting to hear her say. Is I'm like, well, what was your favorite part about working this? And her big deal was like, you know what? Honestly, I love the eyes the web gets, and I like cutting out the middleman, doing that direct to my fans kind of interaction. Mm-hmm. And I feel like from the gaming side, it gives that same thing, right? Like, I'm not paying ESPN however much a month, or Comcast however much a month through the TV side of it, or Ted Turner, whoever owns it, to watch football. Like, if I subscribe to a Twitch channel that costs money, I'm directly supporting that person. Like, if I subscribe to PR Rock Stream, I'm paying him $5, or I give him $10. You know, for me, that was my...
It'd be like you're watching a football team, and I don't know if you think of a player that you really like, but if you could see him practice, and then you wanted to go play and practice, and you could take that advice, and you could pay him directly, which only furthers his career.
But something to remember, though, helps you. Invested. But remember, as this grows, it may not always be like that, right? Because you're saying you want it to grow. I mean, I could very well easily, and maybe there's already one out there, but I could see there being even... Is there a video game channel out there, like on cable television that you can watch?
I mean, G4. They moved away from it. It's just TV. It's just IPTV, okay,
But I mean, I could very easily see in the very near future a cable channel like Twitch, even like getting their own television channel where they stream like these, or not these, they air these big events, right?
Absolutely.
So, like, you know, it's kind of a catch 22.
Not far from that. Yeah, you're really not. Yeah, far from
it's
that.
A catch 22 right now. I see right now you pay for that Twitch stream or whatever, and it goes straight to supporting those people.
Right.
It may not always be that way, and will that disconnect from?
I think you'll always have a direct connection with the person.
I think
you
will, and I think I'm talking
about like the big events, like if you have a like if it grows to like, you know, Evo and stuff like that now being aired on a channel. Man.
But the nature of the tech industry, I don't see it moving backwards. Yeah. I feel like TV and cable is a step back.
Yeah, and I
don't see it moving that way.
And I think like it may get to like a where you can,
because you got to think. Yeah. Sorry, Tom, but you got to think of these people are tech savvy. So if I'm interested in StarCraft or he's interested in Street Fighter, we probably have a computer that can stream.
Yeah, you're not going to be sitting there like a fucking idiot, like, what channel is this on?
Yeah, well, and I think the thing to look at too is like we're a much more casual society now. Like, I'll use an example without naming names, but my job. You know, previously, you know, I had all my tattoos covered up. I wore slacks, a tie, all this type of stuff. We recently outlawed ties. I have to send people home for wearing ties or make them take it off. Huh. I have my tattoos hanging out at work. It's comfortable, and we become a comfortable society. So the one thing is, I think as companies become more comfortable, the one thing I'm excited to see is, like, I think these companies will actually rely on that comfortable connection, and they'll understand it more. So yes, it'll be kind of there'll be maybe a little more of a disconnect, but I still think that direct support line will be there. And, like, you know, one of my favorite things is, you know, and Jimmy talked about this a lot, is, you know, Justin Wong, you pay him, you subscribe, and he'll analyze your matches. So you send him a YouTube link of, like, hey, here's a match I just played. And he will actually go, and he won't knock people. He's not a dick, and some of them aren't, but he's like, you know what? You're obviously new at the game. You fucked this up. Go practice this.
Yeah.
But it's
Well, Chris did something similar because he talked to you about that, where there was a professional he sent, like, here's three of my replays, and the guy comes back and says, all right. It'd be like having, you know, Michael Jordan sit down with you and say, hey,
Ron also does that.
If you want to play basketball better, these are the things you should try doing differently.
I think, yes, there will still be, as corporate money pours in, there will be a little bit of a disconnect, maybe. And I think, depending on the communities, like, but at the same time, I feel as if...
But these communities can be so much larger.
Yeah,
it's not like a basketball team of a dozen people.
You're not asking Jordan to say, "Hey, Jordan, I'm shooting this jump shot. Watch me shoot this jump shot, and then critique me after it." And you're only paying them $20 to do that.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of this stuff too is like, you know, I think this whole rock star thing that the world has, you know, like where you've got to be wearing like fucking expensive clothes and have the brand name of headphones, like. I feel like that's almost a lot of that like rock star attitude is being compartmentalized a little bit. Does that make sense? Like,
I don't follow.
Like, so I guess like, so Beats by Dre is very, very successful, right? And they're a big company. And like, you see the basketball players rolling out in their fucking expensive clothes and their jeans and their JNCO and all that shit. I don't know. I don't wear it. Dude, I wear like fucking Dockers and jeans. I don't know what this shit is. But
You're right.
You get what I'm saying? They're wearing whatever brand.
Yeah, they're rocking
JNCOs. They're rocking JNCOs.
They can't even get those shits.
Yeah, you can. There's a JNX by my house. I've got to have them probably in a warehouse. But so they're wearing whatever the fuck they're wearing and they're everything. Like, you have to go out and spend all this money to be. To match them, right? I don't feel like the gaming community, aside from a hardware perspective, I guess.
Hardware has more of a purpose.
Right. You don't see... I just don't feel like you see as much of that. And it feels a little more realistic to me, I guess. You know what I mean?
You will. Time out. I think you will?
I was about to say the same thing.
Because sticks. Like, let's say so-and-so uses a specific stick, and they're like... I can rock shit on this. Then,
if they're
sponsored by this company, well,
yeah, you see that now.
Yeah,
because you get that like with StarCraft.
Yeah, you know the whole Razer hardware thing. Yeah. I get that. Yeah,
but I think what Tom's saying is more like the lifestyle of the clothing, like seeing somebody in like a suit and tie and fucking all decked out, going to a StarCraft tournament.
Maybe though, because even the rap music video stuff is gone, even slang though, because like this Yipes guy. He's Puerto Rican or black?
He dresses like shit, though.
He has that like slang with him, and I think a lot of people talk shit like that, or they talk like that on the internet because they can hide behind their keyboard. So you don't know.
You're right though.
You know what I'm saying though.
No, there's a dude. There's a kid. I've played some Street Fighter against.
And they just hide behind their keyboard. They want to talk like
he's
that.
He's white as the fucking day is young, and he says shit. And I'm looking at him.
They wouldn't talk like that outside the context of the fucking internet stream. Then they gotta talk all this shit and get me fucking mad.
That's a good point. I guess you're right.
So do you think there's a direct correlation to your esports? Like, okay, so you've got your esports who is probably, I mean, from what I've seen, I mean, they try to portray at least some semblance of like good sportsmanship and professionalism and stuff like that. Like, I see that. Like, yeah. I get it. Good on them. But then you've got like... the rest of the gaming community. You got the whole rest of the gaming community, right? Throwing out racial slurs and all this shit during common play. Do you think that has any sort of commentary?
My shit.
Yeah. Any commentary? They were like,
fucking Mexican.
Or impact on the esports because you're going to, people, if you want like the general populace to, even if they're not interested,
that's
esports. Yeah, my cousin's into that. That's great.
I want to take this one.
But then you see like these news stories and stuff you know, all this harassment and shit. Do you think that has any impact on the esports?
Let me draw a quick parallel and then you can go, okay?
Go.
So the parallel I want to draw is, and this is just my, because once again, I don't really do shooters, but fighting games I do. The one thing you see is I feel like the fighting game community fights against getting absorbed into esports because they want to stay a grassroots movement. Now with that, I completely 100% agree. And I feel that the fighting game community could actually grow beyond with that grassroots movement. I like the grassroots feel of fighting games. That's why I like them. Like
Mom and Pop.
Yeah, it's nice. And I think they could grow beyond that, and they are. But they will have to find that professionalism niche, right, to push it all forward. But at the same time, I'm sure Lucas's point can kind of support.
What I was thinking... I see where you're coming from, and maybe to
certain... Well, and I'm not trying to make a point. I was just asking a question.
Yeah, no. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I think maybe from a certain generation or perspective, people might look at that and be like, oh, well, gaming, you know, these people act like assholes, so fuck esports. But then I could say the same thing, go to a rec league basketball game, like, look at these assholes how they scream and yell at each other.
Church ball is supposedly the most violent fucking thing you can play.
Well, that's, I think,
a movie with Gary Coleman.
You know, Xbox Live is almost like church ball to esports to a certain extent. I mean, and I'm not innocent of it either. Like, different StarCraft rounds, I've gotten, like, the best of me, and I've... you know, kind of lost my temper.
He builds a supply depot.
And just flush and go fuck yourself.
But the difference is, like, the NBA and stuff is already established, right? Like,
I think there's an argument that the esports has established at this moment in time with how much money is changing hands.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's fair.
This isn't my bag.
I'm just trying to ask questions,
Honestly, I feel like we're just kind of pontificating on our different thoughts and not really debating at this point.
But. Well, I don't think it was meant to be a debate. Yeah. I mean, it's like you've got three guys that enjoy the esports stuff. Yeah. Like you and Jimmy really enjoy the the Street Fighter matches and like just the general matches, right?
Watching Evo stuff. League of Legends and StarCraft.
And I know Lucas spends a lot.
You dislike it?
I miss watching it.
Oh, and see, that's for me. Like, I still like playing Titanfall a lot. It's kind of like a fun game for me, but that's the nothing in comparison to sitting down to play StarCraft. Like the mind fuck that it is to try to deal with that. Like, it's such a thinking situation where it's like, okay, this is going to take everything I've got.
You know what?
Dedicate
it's
kind of
like
this.
You with Marvel.
And get a little bit better at it.
You don't
I like to watch Marvel.
But you don't.
But I don't. It's because I can watch Marvel with one eye.
Yeah, you don't. You're not playing.
Fuck, that game makes me mad. But so here's something that maybe is just an interesting thought that I've kind of noticed, and it could be that just the circles I run in don't show this. But I feel like MLG isn't like you've got the WCS and you've got StarCraft, you've got League of Legends,
Husky,
you've got the fighting game community with this grassroots scene kind of killing it. I kind of almost feel like MLG is kind of being squeezed out.
I think the MLG, yeah, I would agree. It seems, and it's kind of more counterintuitive to what I would like. You know,
like, I don't watch any. I don't watch any professional shooters.
With Netflix, I like having a Netflix account. I don't want to pay Warner Brothers for their movies. I don't want to pay Sony for those movies. Yeah. But right now, that's kind of what you're seeing. Is like StarCraft is owned by Blizzard. They're running their tournaments. Street Fighter's got their own click.
Right, which
you don't have one big
umbrella.
NBA.
And we're starting to see that move. So,
and I almost kind of prefer that in esports because your crowd and the kinds of things that isn't necessarily what I care for.
I would look at it.
I totally get it.
I can't watch first-person shooter streams. It drives me fucking crazy.
And I would say, like, if you look at esports as a whole, you're looking at esports as, like, essentially what its name says. Like, professional gaming, right? So you use that blanket term, professional gaming. But then, much like in professional sports, you've got your NFL, your NBA, your MLB.
True.
Those would be your strategy games like StarCraft and stuff, and then you've got your fighting games like Street Fighter and such,
and like League of Legends,
your first person shooters, and your dungeon crawlers and stuff like that. Those are all your different sports within the blanket term.
I think MLG was trying to be that umbrella, and I agree. I think they're just.
I feel like it's kind of struggling. I mean,
yeah, but fuck MLG. Like,
I think MLG is kind of a joke,
yeah,
personally, because it's at least the people I ran into that were MLG were those that took themselves way too seriously.
Right, and you have, I mean,
they only do
you know what
Smash
I mean?
Bros.
Yeah,
for fighting games.
Yeah, well, and the Smash Brothers thing I think is fucking great. Like, I don't like, I hate.
I can't believe there's professionals.
Oh, and they're
out of everything.
They're
like,
fucking
that
ridiculous.
Game.
And dude, I hate. Too. I'm gonna be the first to say it. I hate Smash Brothers, guys. I fucking despise it.
I think I realized that when we played that.
Oh my god, I hate it.
I love Smash Brothers.
But dude, like,
it's so much fun.
Watching
it,
but there's a PC game, and I gotta find the name of it, but they're basically taking the source code of Smash Brothers and just shoving all these amazing characters into it. I'll play that shit. It looks fun as hell. Watching them play Smash Brothers professionally, the fact that, like, this niche old school game, because they're playing the GameCube version.
The community
They're not playing shit on Wii.
Yeah,
and these guys, like, if you talk to some of these guys, like, some of these guys are driving an hour and 15 minutes each way to play tournaments or to play casual matches to practice. Like, it's pretty fucking hardcore, and that's cool.
Well, especially Smash Brothers, because
end
on Brawl, that's not a game that you play over
Brawl,
the internet to practice. You play in a
melee,
room with people.
Right.
Yep. You know?
Melee, whatever.
Yeah, melee.
So let me ask you this. In the grand scheme
of
things, would you guys say you watch esports more for entertainment value or like to learn new things, like strategy value?
It's a mix.
Learn from me.
I'd say for me, it's definitely both. And it's funny because that's the difference with being like, I could watch the NFL, but I'm never going to play like an NFL player. But I can watch StarCraft and pick up little things like, oh, okay, the next match I play, if I'm playing as Terran and I have this situation and I did this, I could actually pull this off.
And
so there's the strategy from watching it, and then there's the whole other entertainment side of it. The one guy I watched, Jimmy's seen some of these, his name's Husky StarCraft.
Yeah.
He does a series called Bronze League Heroes, where he takes people that are brand new at the game, like if you or Tom were to sit down and play a game and ridiculous, dumb shit happens because you're not familiar with the game, that someone that is familiar would think is funny. He does that with commentary, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And I don't watch that for tips because it's just people that aren't very skilled.
And I feel like watching, like in fighting games, for me, it's very different because I can't watch a match, like an Evo match, at the speed it's going, and I can't break down what I need to be doing from seeing that match.
Sure.
But if I, like, if I'm laying in bed and I'm watching, like, an Evil Geniuses stream, or I watch Shin's Academy because he can explain shit so clearly, like, it's weird. Like, he doesn't have perfect English, but he can explain an idea to me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I fucking get that. It makes a whole fucking lot of sense. So, like, I feel like that portion I watch to learn, But then, like, the big tournaments I watch, for me, it's mainly just to see the energy and to see the matches because they're super fun to
watch. Watching big tournaments, especially, it seems silly, but as you pick out different players that you like and you kind of follow through these tournaments.
It's like following a team for me.
It can be really fun to watch those and see what's happening and the way that the tournaments turn. I'd love to watch a WCS tournament.
Dude, that would be super fun to watch. And to me, like, the thing is, like, going back to my earlier comment, like, while, like, watching this stuff for whatever reason, entertainment value or strategy building might seem quote-unquote silly to me, right? Like, I get it from the fighting game standpoint, and I get it from, like, the strategy game StarCraft standpoint. Like, I understand that. Like, I may not appreciate it like you guys do or find value in it or even just, like, enjoyment out of it because I'm very much like a, like, you know, I'd go to the arcade as a kid, and I wanted to, like, grab the stick and mash the buttons, even if it meant me getting my ass kicked, than the one standing back, like, watching the fights just for the pure entertainment value, right? It was like, nah, this is video games. I want to be playing, right? Like, I understand that. The one I don't understand for the life of me, and I've got such a fucking poor opinion of him from the Halo days, is this MLG first-person shooter bullshit. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you can argue to me all day. Like, I don't see how, like, if you're watching, like, a professional first-person shooter match, that's more tips and tricks, right? It's like, because really at the end of the day, a lot of it is who's going to pull the trigger first, right?
It's still a lot of strategy involved. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I understand the strategy.
But I agree. I don't think it's nearly as entertaining. And I think, especially in the Halo community,
as intense or involved either is like these other brands.
I could argue. I think that StarCraft is probably one of the more involved,
like, chess
games.
Man.
That's what I was gonna say. That's the exact analogy I was gonna use.
Yeah, like chess. Street Fighter is a different. Well, it's a different
animal,
brain.
But I feel
animal.
Like I even feel
still,
like
I would even argue that Street Fighter is chess because that's so technical.
There's a different chess match.
There's a different type.
First person shooters are chess to an extent, but I don't think that they're as complicated of a strategic thing.
Yeah, they're more of a. I feel like they're more of a team thing. Like,
I would completely agree with
Twitch reactions and their reflexes reactions.
That's what I was gonna say. Twitch reactions and
with team. Elements.
Strategies and, like, knowing the map and knowing, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. like where to go at certain times, like
matchups.
Yeah, but yeah. Like at the end of the day, like, I just feel like it's not like I can see the value that you guys take away in it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I have no desire to sit down and quote unquote get better at Street Fighter or anything like that. You know, my Warcraft days and StarCraft days are behind me, right? I just...
As far as you know.
Well,
I mean, like, because 2 years ago, I didn't have a desire, and then Chris and I, like, why are we bad at this game? This is stupid. Let's get good at this game.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I would never pick it up, but it's just, you know, for right now. But when I hear you guys talk about it, it's like, nah, I get why you watch this stuff. It makes sense to me, especially, like, playing video games with Jimmy a couple weeks ago, right? I went over to his house and we just ran through a bunch of games. Like, we were playing Street Fighter, we were playing Street Fighter X Tekken, like, all this stuff. And it's like, I'm asking Jimmy, like, you know, how do you do this and this? And, like,
sure,
you know, and he'll explain it to me, but there's a certain point where he starts explaining it to me and I'm like, okay, that's too much fucking information. Because he'll start talking about, like, frame rates and stuff. And for one, like, I don't understand it. And two, like, I'm just like, I don't need to know. Just tell me how to do the uppercut, like, thing.
The plink dash on marble.
For me, that's part of the fun of...
What are you doing? I'm like, it's called a plink dash. And I'm just like... Yeah.
For me, that's part of the fun of these StarCraft streams or playing the game is it's so complicated that every time... Like, something new gets turned on in my brain every time I'm watching or looking at something where... You know, that's that Jimmy conversation where you told me, like, three too many things... Those three things the next time, maybe I'll get them.
Well, and I love, like, when you're playing a competitive game like that, when you break someone's brain. Like, and I've seen it happen, and you'll play somebody, and you'll see
the simple shit.
But see, that's the Ketrock strategy, where it's like, wait, because the particular unit is Ravens. Like, wait, he's got, like, 30 Ravens? And then that's it. The game's over. Like,
well, and you'll see that happen in the Street Fighter matches. Blink for a second. I was just practicing with some friends online, but, like, this dude was just being a fucking dickbag, and I finally just started countering everything.
Yeah, I said someone's being a dickbag.
Oh, he was being the worst, man. And so, like, we get to the end of it, and, like, the end of it is, like, both of us with a sliver of life. And I've basically just been, like, intentionally trading. So, like, in Street Fighter, if two moves kind of collide, you trade damage. And I've been trading barely in my favor over and over and over and over again. So essentially we're both down to a sliver of life, and he finally just, like, stood there and just mashed jab at me because, like, you could see it as, like, you could just feel it. He's like, well, fuck.
Well, I think at the end of the day, it just comes down to desire, right? Because, like, whenever I play game with Jimmy, he consistently whoops my ass. Like, I might beat him one out of every 10 games because I got lucky, right? Like, And
your Marvel's not bad, though.
But the thing is like, I try to take something away, like, hey, how do you do that? Or like, what's... Or like, whenever I played Street Fighter when I went over there. I haven't played a Street Fighter game forever. So he was kind of like showing me like the new stuff and like...
The focus attacks.
Yeah, he's like, so when I come at you like this, you might want to do this instead of evading or something like that. So... What, like, I'm like, all right, cool, that's great information. It makes me a better player when I'm playing my friends, and I'll, whenever I play with him again, you know, I've retained that, and maybe I'll learn something new. But like, I lack that desire to be like, I want to strive to be better at this, like sports. I don't have people who want to be better at basketball, right? They're gonna go out into the driveway and just fucking sit there and throw free throw after free throw until they're just drilling them in their sleep, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, when hearing you talk about StarCraft gives me a fucking headache. Like, just trying to, like, wrap my brain around it, I'm like, oh my god, I don't have enough time in the day to even begin to get to an amateur level of StarCraft is how I feel. Because you and I used to play StarCraft in my apartment, right? You'd bring over your laptop and we'd link them together and play some StarCraft. It was a lot of fun. Like, hearing you and Chris talk about this shit, like, I'm like, you guys have to stop because I'm going to have to go take some fucking, like, migraine medication here if you keep going. Because, and I don't know. It's just, I think really what it comes down to, though, is to each your own, right? With the esports thing, you know.
I think it's going to get bigger and bigger as you see more franchises wanting to be a part of it.
Dear Twitch, get a Chromecast app.
Yeah, Twitch. I think Twitch kind of sucks right now.
Their mobile apps are killer now. Their iPad and iOS apps.
They're mobile. But trying to like stream it on my desktop at work,
it'll kill
my processor for no fucking reason.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree. And that the bandwidth.
It's because of stream, dude.
Well, we're running and like
stream. I'm not even streaming. Like if I watch something, so like Ket Rock on Wednesdays and Fridays, we'll do like a 6-hour session. And so that's a complete video, right?
It's a whole day, yeah.
Yeah, so if I want, I'm like, oh, I can throw that on the background and watch. When it gets to the second or third hour, it'll start to, like, kill my processor to where it's overheating, and then it glitches.
Yep.
I can't watch a complete stream. After it gets to the third hour, it's just
And that's
done.
A problem, like, we're with the BSR stream we need to look into is, like, there's, like, 6 months ago, I could stream no problem, 100%, 1080. Mm. And now suddenly it's like lagging.
I think it's Twitch.
My bandwidth hasn't changed. My processor power hasn't
changed. You got all these assholes on Xbox One now can stream to Twitch. You can't tell me that that's not affecting it.
Yeah, I wonder what that would be. We'll have to look into that because that's really bothering me. But I would agree, like when I've got, you know, 40 megs down and I can't watch something in HD, that breaks my brain. Like that's got to come forward.
So I want to pose one final question to you guys before we sign off for this episode. Where do you foresee esports ultimately like ending up in like the popularity arena of like the general public? And I'm not, you can say 50 years from now, I don't really care.
I feel like
are we talking like
Olympics?
Are we talking like Super Bowl type shit? Are we talking about like maybe AAA baseball championship type stuff?
I think you have stuff already rivaling Super Bowl, like the League
years,
of Legends
I think it's years down the road. But I think
45K.
We're talking Super Bowl type shit. I mean, the fact of the matter is like, look at all the comic book movies we're living in that are making billions of dollars at this point. Like, if you don't believe there's a geek takeover, you're crazy.
Well, like the girl I work with that programs with me now, she's like 23 or she's like the next generation right?
Yeah.
Her and her husband and their friends, they all play games, they all play League of Legends, they all watch all these streams. I think that like it's not that far behind. And since we're already kind of half in with that with our generation and these numbers are so huge, I don't think it'll be a decade before you see it rivaling the Super Bowl.
I think Evo will have it'll have at least 200,000 viewers during the grand finals, not double that.
Well, and the difference too is that like the Super Bowl you watch on Super Bowl Sunday, right? Whereas these streams you watch during the stream from your home, from your work, from when you're out on your
3 days long, usually.
Or
you can watch it
the next day, you know.
Right. It's always available.
Yeah.
I really think that I think what did the Evo cap at last year? It was 150,000+.
You said you're going to Evo?
Yeah, I'm gonna go to Evo this year.
I'd say we should
book our hotel.
Next WCS or something, we should do like a hangout and watch it and get some beers. And then you'd be welcome to join us.
I actually wouldn't mind joining. Like I said, I enjoy the videos and stuff.
Husky streams are
fantastic.
We used to, when it was first kind of blowing up, we even bought, like, for $30, you bought, like, some platinum pass. It wasn't when, it was before WCS came out. It was when they
were doing. Because it's all free now with WCS.
Yeah, but what were they doing before that? There was something before where you'd pay us premium.
It was and the, you had to like, buy like GGTV, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, you had
like
to pay, like, a $25, $30. You could buy the card at GameStop.
And that's and why.
We actually ordered pizza, got beer, and, like, we watched it on my big screen in my living room in surround sound. It was kind
of
fun.
That's part of why Blizzard is so awesome, is because they came in and said, all right, we're going to foot the bill. We just want everybody to watch
and
it.
And that's the other thing to talk about with the fighting game side. So Capcom has done the Capcom Pro Tour.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's kind of...
Well, that's new, though.
Yeah, and it's all new, but they're sponsoring these big, major tournaments, and people are actually accruing points and getting ranked.
Oh,
and
wow.
Capcom is sponsoring all of this, so you're actually starting to see, like, seeding points and ranks handed out.
And I will tell you from an outsider's point of view, if there was somewhere, like, you could point, like, it's... Like, I always hear about Evo and, like, all these other tournaments, right? Like, I want to know, like...
ShowRyuken.com?
Well, no, it's like, I want, for me to get involved, like, I would need some structure, right? And if they're doing, like, ranking and stuff like that, where...
Yeah, and they are now.
Right? I don't know.
It's like, all
you almost need to just watch a big tournament.
Yeah, you gotta watch a big tournament.
And you just have your friends tell you their favorites, but then kind of just pick out a guy and be like, I'm gonna follow him and see
what he does. Well, and that's a context thing, too, because I was never into boxing. And I still wouldn't say I'm into boxing. I hate boxing. Well, right, but the thing is, go watch boxing with Jimmy. I bet you like it by the end of the night because
get somebody's passionate about it. They're gonna explain it to you.
Yeah, he's passionate about it, and Tiff really wanted to watch it because she's into like that MMA stuff, you know, with her background and doing it, you know, as on an amateur level. And Jimmy and Shannon invited us over to watch the Pacquiao Bradley fight a couple years ago. And with his family, and we went over there, and Jimmy and his family are all really into boxing, and I was kind of like, oh, no, this will be cool. I'll hang out with Jimmy and his family. Like, boxing, cool, whatever.
Right.
I got there, and I'm just like, I'm like probably just saying shit that like his family is like, that doesn't even fucking make sense. Like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But like, I had such like a good time doing that.
Yeah,
so.
You just start yelling at the TV.
Yeah, just start yelling at the TV. So I don't, it could be context. And like I said, like from an outsider's point of view, it's whenever I say it, it seems silly. It's more just, It's not my bag, right?
I get
that. It's not commentary on that. I think it's like, this just shouldn't fucking exist. This is a waste of everyone's time. It's just like to bring myself to watch it. But anyway, I think we've pontificated enough on this for this week. Just a quick reminder, I'm sure this episode will hopefully be out sometime around FanX. So if it's before FanX,
it'll be after. If we do the weekly thing like we have been.
Hope you stopped by.
Yeah.
Said hi. We will catch you guys next episode. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this month's Big Shiny Podcast. Be sure to check out other podcasts in the Big Shiny Robot Podcast family, including the Big Shiny Girl Cast, Laser Brain, and the Big Movie Mouth Off. And for all you Utah local residents, be sure to check out the Big Shiny Geek Show Pub Quiz every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. at Lucky 13.